مبلغ for you is my prayer. مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success share. مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success share.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear Islamic brothers and respected elders, Alhamdulillah, we hear time and time again of the benefits of reciting Durood e Pak upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a beautiful narration that once Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I left my house and I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaving his house. And he says, I followed closely behind him. And he says, what do I see? Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes into an orchard. And in that orchard, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he starts to offer prayer. And during that prayer, he goes into sajda. And he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in that sajda, he was in that frustration for such a long time, for so long, that he says that I started to get worried. He was such an ashiq rasul, he started crying. Because to himself he got worried, he thought the worst might have happened. And so he's in this state, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he lifts his blessed head from sajda, and he calls him. And he says, why were you crying? Why are you like this? And he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that I saw you in sajda for such a long time and I became worried. I thought the worst had happened. I couldn't control myself. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in reply to him, he says that the reason why I was in sajda for so long is out of shukr. He says, I owed thanks to my Lord, to Allah Azza wa Jal. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal has given me this blessing. He has given me this gift. That he says that when one of my followers, when someone from my ummah, he sends Durood e Pak upon me, then Allah Azza wa Jal will reward him with 10 good deeds, and Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive 10 of his sins. So my dear son brothers, you know, perhaps we underestimate the great reward and the great rank of the person who recites Durood e Pak. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing shukr for that person who, for the reward, for the gift, for that person who recites Durood e Pak. So my dear Islamic brothers, we need to make it a habit of ours as well. Whatever free time we have, spend that reciting durood and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. Amir Ahl Sunnah, Sheikh Tariqat, the founder of Dawat-e-Islami, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Razavi Damat Barakatuhum al-Aliya, he mentions a beautiful waqia in one of his risalas. And he talks about this man. This man was very famous in his community as being an abid, somebody who used to do a lot of worship. He was a person who people used to say, this person is close to Allah Azza wa Jal. And what happened was, in his area where this man used to live, the people, all of a sudden, some people began to worship a tree. And naturally, because he was such a devout person of Allah Azza wa Jal, he felt angered by this. He felt frustrated that people, instead of worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, they are worshipping this tree. So he made this intention that I'm going to go and chop that tree down to stop people from worshipping the tree and to make them worship Allah Azza wa Jal instead. And so he sets out of his house and he goes to cut the tree down. Now his intention is that he wants to stop people committing shirk. And he wants them to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. So he's on his way. He's got the axe over his shoulder. He's going to cut that tree down. But then on the way, he's confronted by somebody. And this person that confronts him is asking him some questions. He's debating with him. And because this person was an abid, he was punctual in his ibadah, and he was close to Allah Azawajal, he recognized that this person was the shaitan. And the shaitan had come to him in like a human form. And he said, the shaitan, he tried to play with his mind. He says, "What are you doing?" And the abid person, he said, "Well, I'm going to chop this tree down. These people are worshipping a tree instead of Allah Azawajal. I'm going to chop it down." And that shaitan, he tries to stop him. And obviously that person is determined. So they have an argument. It develops into a kind of fight. And he knocks the shaitan to the ground. And then he carries on his way because he's determined. And then he carries on, and the shaitan comes again for the second time. Same thing happens. They have an argument. They have a fight. And the abid, because he's determined in his intention, he carries on. But then the shaitan comes to him for the third time. And this time the shaitan, he employs a very clever tactic. Because we know, my dear son, brother, the shaitan is our enemy. And he uses very deceiving ways to misguide the Muslims. And so he said to this person, "All right, I'm going to do a deal with you. Yeah? I'm going to do a deal with you. If you agree not to chop that tree down, I'm going to give you 2 dinar every day in return." Now, he didn't just stop there, because he knew perhaps that this person is an abid person. He's going to want something for his hereafter as well. So he said to him, "I'm going to give you 2 dinar. One of them you keep for yourself, and the other one, you can give it in sadaqah, you can give it in charity." And he says, "Look, that way you'll get reward as well." And so the abid person, he thought to himself, "He's going to give me 2 dinar every day. One I can keep for myself. One I can give in sadaqah as well. It sounds like a good deal." So he agreed to him. He agreed not to chop the tree down. So he goes back home, puts his axe away, and he thinks, "Okay, this is alright." For the next few days, every time he woke up in the morning, he would find two coins underneath his pillow, so in his house. And then this happened for a few days. But then all of a sudden, one day, he woke up in the morning and there's no coins. There's no dinar as promised. The 2 dinar that was supposed to be there every day, this morning, particular morning, there was nothing there. Now this time he gets really angry, frustrated. He thinks to himself that this person is doing a deal with me, but he's not complying with this part of the deal. So he picks up his axe again and he goes out on the same path. This time he says, "I don't care what's going to happen, I'm going to chop that tree down." But what happens? Again, very same location, the shaitan comes to him in human form. And the shaitan, he engages him in a debate and he says, "I'm not going to let you chop that tree down." And exactly the same thing happens. They have an argument, they have a fight. But this time, my dear Islamic brothers, this time, previously the abid, he was able to overcome the shaitan. This time, the shaitan overcame him. This time the shaitan knocked him to the ground and he won that particular battle. And so because the shaitan had won, this abid, whose intention was to chop the tree down to stop people committing shirk, he's on the ground and he says to him, "Okay, I've lost, I won't chop it down." But he says, before I go, just tell me one thing. Tell me one thing, that when I met you last time, twice you came to me, 3 times you came to me, all of them times we had a battle, we had a fight. I managed to win you. I managed to knock you to the ground. What has changed all of a sudden that this time, within the space of a few days, you've managed to knock me down?" And then he says to him, and this is, my dear Islamic brothers, the crux of this story. He says to him, "The first time when you were going to chop that tree down, you were doing it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. You were doing it because people were worshipping a tree rather than Allah, and you had that sincerity, you had that iman inside you was burning to say, 'I'm going to chop this tree down.' When you come to do it this time, when you've tried to chop this tree down this time, you're not doing it because of Allah Azza wa Jal, because you feel that people are committing shirk. You're doing it because you didn't get your 2 coins this morning. There's a difference in your intention. Your intention was weak, which means your amal is weak, and that's why I was able to overcome you." So my dear son, brother, from that story, the message we learn is that if our intention is weak, if our intention is not pure for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, then our amal will be weak as well. This is why then we ask the scholars and we ask questions, why do we not feel that sincerity in namaz? Why do we not feel that spirituality? Then perhaps, my dear Islamic brothers, we need to ask ourselves about our intention. Me and you, myself included, all of us need to ask ourselves that when we're doing ibadat, when we're doing a good action, are we doing it to show people? Are we doing it to show the people around us? Are we doing it as a sign of show off? Are we doing it for the sake of Allah? Because my dear Islamic brothers, the thing that we learn, the thing that we must realize, that in Islam, there is no reward for doing an action for the sake of people. And we learn that from a narration about the Day of Judgment. Now, my dear Islamic brothers, I want you to try to imagine the Day of Judgment. It's impossible for us to imagine what it's going to be like. But we hear stories and we hear narrations which describe some of the features of that day. Now, I'm going to explain to you what could happen to those people whose intentions are not pure, whose intention for their actions is not for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. It says that there will be three people who will come on the Day of Judgment. And these three people, Allah Azza wa Jal will ask them about their actions in this world. The first person that's going to come, he will be a Qari of the Quran. And Allah Azza wa Jal will ask him, he'll say, I gave you such a ni'mat in the world. I gave you a beautiful voice. And what did you do with that? What did you do for me in return? And that Qari of Quran, he will reply, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, you gave me a beautiful voice. And what did I do? I learned the Quran and I taught it to other people and I used to recite it. I learned the Quran. Think about this, man. It's not a Qari of Quran. He learned the Quran, he teaches it to the others and he recites it as well. He says, I used to do that for you. And Allah Azza wa Jal will say to him, you're a liar. He'll say that you only read the Quran and taught it to other people so that the world, so that the dunya would call you a Qari. So that the dunya would call you a Hafiz al-Quran. You did not do it for my benefit. You did not do it for my sake. And then Allah Azza wa Jal will order the angels drag this person into the fire of hell. Now, this should be a wake-up call for us. A wake-up call for me and you. Our actions today, how many of them are purely for the sake of Allah? How many of them are to show people? How many of them are to attain a status in society? How much of them are to attain a title from people? You know, these days, if somebody accidentally calls us a Hafiz, somebody accidentally calls us an Alama, because we do bayan maybe in the masjid, or we lead the Jamaat every now and then, or we have an Imamah Sharif on our head, or for whatever reason, somebody gives us a title for which we're not worthy. What's our reality? We might say on our tongue that, I'm not worthy of that title, but inside we feel happy. We think this person gave me status. There must be something good in me. This person is giving me so much status. My dear Samuel, if we look at our pious ancestors, if we look at those people before, there's a status about Sayyidi Allah Hazrat, Imam Ahl Sunnah, that somebody once, by mistake, called him a Hafiz. He wasn't a Hafiz at that time. Now he thought to himself, this person has called me Hafiz. What did he do? In the month of Ramadan Sharif, he learned the whole of the Quran within 30 days. Why? Because somebody called him a Hafiz by mistake and he didn't want that to be untrue, so therefore he went and did that action. Today we place all kind of titles before our name. These people, and Amir al-Sunnah, there's a bayan of Amir al-Sunnah, and he talks about this a lot. He says that, for example, people go to do Hajj. We're in the season of Hajj again. And they'll come back from Hajj and all of a sudden automatically, by default, without mention, they stick the title of Haji before their name. And he mentions in Rafiqul Haramain's story that somebody once, there were two passengers traveling on a train. And the person, he asked him, what's your name? And he said, my name is Haji so-and-so. And then that person says, what's your name? And he says, my name is Namazi so-and-so. And he says, that's a strange kind of name you've got there. And he says, well, you call yourself Haji so-and-so because you've done Hajj once in your lifetime. He says, Namaz, I read it 5 times every single day. If you can call yourself a Haji for doing an action once, why can't I call myself a Namazi for doing it 5 times a day? And my dear son, it illustrates how our thinking, we don't even realize what we say sometimes. Some people are so used to the titles, you call them by just their name, they won't even recognize it. Because they won't even recognize their own name. This is how obsessed we've become about worldly status. My dear Islamic brothers, we might get all the status that we want in this dunya. The real status that we want is on the Day of Judgment. Yeah? And that narration that I was telling you, first will be the Qari Quran. And the second person that will be called will be a Shaheed, a martyr. And this person, again, Allah Azza wa Jalla will ask him the same question. I gave you such and such a ni'mat in the world. What did you do with it? What did you do in return? And the Shaheed, he will say, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I sacrificed my life in your way. I gave the ultimate sacrifice. I left the dunya, I left everything, I sacrificed my life for the sake of your deen. And Allah Azza wa Jal will say to him, you are a liar. You only sacrificed yourself. You only died in the way of Islam so that the people would call you a shaheed, so that people will call you a martyr. He said, today, there's no reward for you today from me. And again, he'll order the angels to drag him to the fire of hell. And then the third person, a sakhi, somebody who gave a lot of money, a lot of wealth in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. And again, Allah Azza wa Jal will ask him the same question. He'll say, I gave you all these ni'mats in the world. I gave you all this wealth. What did you do with it? And he will say, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I gave so much sadaqah in your way. I gave so much charity in your way. And Allah Azza wa Jal will say to him, you're a liar. You did not give that charity and that sadaqah for my sake. The reason why you gave so much charity, the reason for all the sadaqah was so that people around you would call you a sakhi. People would say, this guy is so generous, man. He's always giving money to the masjid. He's always giving money left, right, and center. You did it for the status in the dunya. You got that status in the dunya. Today, there's no reward for you. And again, he will be dragged into the fire of hell. Now, my dear Islamic brothers, if we think about them three people, a qari, a Quran, a shaheed, and a sakhi, somebody who gives a lot of wealth in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. If three people like that can be thrown into the fire of hell because their intention was void. Their intention was not pure. Then my dear son brothers, what about me and you? Who our actions are even less than that. My actions are even weaker than that. My namaz, my recitation of the Quran is even lower than that. Yet what guarantee do we have that our actions are going to be accepted? My dear son, this is a time for us to think very, very carefully about what our intention is before we do an action. You know, they say that the stronger your intention is, the purer your intention is, then the greater reward for that will be on the day of judgment. Now, my dear Islamic brothers, we need to think very carefully every time we go for namaz, every time we recite the Quran, every time we travel on a Madani qafla, we act upon the Madani inamat, all these actions that we do, we've got to remember they're not to please another individual. Not to please another creation, is to please the Lord of creation. That should be our intention. Alhamdulillah, that is the message that we get through gatherings like these of Dawat-e-Islami, where we get opportunity to reflect. Because my dear Islamic brothers, Amir al-Sunnah, he says himself that, you know, Dawat-e-Islami, it finds them problems in our society and highlights them. What otherwise we wouldn't realize. You know, maybe if we hadn't come to this ijtama today, we wouldn't reflect upon our intention. We wouldn't reflect upon what our intentions are before we do certain actions. What is our state today? Our state is that we give with our right hand, never mind our left hand, the whole community knows about it. We have elans in the masjid. So-and-so person, son of so-and-so, gave this much money today for the masjid. You know, this person gave this much, this person gave that much. On every single Friday, our masjid, this is the time for the imam, for the khatib to speak to his community. This is his time to deliver them a message. His time to teach them about Islam. But what happens? He has to cut his khutbah in half. He has to cut his speech in half. And instead spend 10-15 minutes every Friday reading a list of names of people who have given money to the masjid. You know, we shouldn't think that we've done a big thing if we give money in the way of Allah. We shouldn't think it's a big thing that we're helping build the house of Allah. Why? Because, my dear Sami, that's our duty. The money has come from Allah Azza wa Jal. He is our sustainer. Why do we consider it that we need to have this announced in the community just because we're giving money? It says, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and with his companions, he built a masjid. Masjid al-Quba in Medina Sharif. And the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, what they did was they became jealous. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had built this masjid. And these people, they'd become jealous. So what did they do? They went and they wanted to build their own masjid. And it was called Masjid al-Dharar. And they built their own masjid close to Masjid al-Quba with this intention that we don't want all the Muslims to go to Masjid al-Quba. We want them to come to our masjid to create disunity. And that was their intention for building the masjid. And so they got together, they built this masjid, and then they invited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, you know, we want you to come to our masjid. We want you to read salah in our masjid. And when they first came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to them, I am going on the expedition to Tabuk. At that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions, they were going to Tabuk. He says, when I come back, if Allah Azza wa Jal wills, then I will come to your masjid. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was returning from Tabuk, these people, these hypocrites, the munafiqeen, they came to him again. And they said, O Prophet of Allah, we want you to come and read in our masjid. And then at that point, Allah Azza wa Jal revealed this ayat. And it's in Surah Tawbah, ayat number 107. Translation taken from the glorious Kunzul Iman. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "And those who have built a mosque in order to injure, and because of infidelity, and to cause dissension among the Muslims, and as an ambush for him who is already against Allah Azza wa Jalla and his messenger before him. And they will surely swear that we deserved only good. And Allah bears witness that they are certainly liars." He's talking about the munafiqeen who built that masjid. Why, my dear Islamic brothers? Because their intention for building that masjid was to deviate the Muslims, was to create disunity amongst the Muslims. Because they were jealous that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had built Masjid al-Quba. And then, in the next ayat of the Quran, after this first ayat of the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered for that masjid to be destroyed. Now, can you imagine a masjid, what we consider the house of Allah, being destroyed? But the reason, my dear Islamic brothers, because their intention was not pure. Their intention was to create disunity amongst the Muslims. And then in the next ayat, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, "You stand never in that mosque. No doubt the mosque whose foundation has been laid on righteousness from the very first day is worthy that you may stand therein. Therein are those who desire to be well purified, and Allah loves the pure." So my dear Islamic brothers, we can see that a good action, you know, we would think making a masjid, building a house of Allah is a good action. But if the intention is not correct, if the intention is something that Allah does not like, then even building that mosque could be a cause of destruction for you. And look at the opposite. You build a mosque, Allah says in the ayat of the Quran, you build a mosque with a good intention, and look at the reward that the person will get. It says in Masjid al-Quba, we know, those brothers who go for Umrah and Hajj, you read 2 rakat nafal namaz in Masjid al-Quba, you get the reward of a full Umrah. That is a house of Allah, that's foundations were built with the right intentions. So my dear Islam, we need to think very, very carefully about our intentions. Alhamdulillah, we've attended this ijtima today, and through the blessing of this ijtima, we've had this opportunity to reflect upon our intentions. So inshallah, I urge you, attend this ijtima on a regular basis. You know, Dawat al-Islami, like I said, it gives us this opportunity to reflect upon our sins, to reflect upon our past. Yeah, alhamdulillah, it's a blessing. I make dua that Allah Azza wa Jal, he gives us the ability to have good intentions in all the amal that we do, and it gives us the ability to stay in this beautiful mahal of Dawat Islami until we leave this world. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
O Mubalik, for you is my prayer. O Mubalik, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Say, O Mubalik, for you it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success still.